So find that in your Bible and stand with me. Hosea, the last chapter, the last section. We're going to finish this book tonight, God willing. Hosea. Let's begin reading in verse 7. There say, Amen.
Amen.
They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. Isn't that a good statement? You know, our flesh says otherwise sometimes. The ways of the Lord are right. And the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Tonight we're going to be talking about not commitment, but recommitment. Recommitment. Here's the title. Recommit your heart to the Lord. Isn't that good? Recommit your heart to the Lord. We're going to talk about that. Father, I pray your blessings. We need to hear from you, so I pray for your touch. Please guide us in your path, Lord. Help us to be humble tonight. We need to hear this. And we'll give you glory for what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. How many of you made a commitment on a diet and then you messed up the same day? Okay. All right. Not enough hands went up right there. Y'all are being dishonest, I think. So we've all sort of made those commitments where, okay, I'm going to do this. And then we drive by Culver's or we drive by Handles, that, you know, the ice cream place where it makes the really big ones, or whatever it is that your struggle is. You drive by there and think, well, I know I made this commitment, but I think I'll start the process tomorrow. You know, we'll get everything moving forward tomorrow. You know, I want to say this morning that sometimes what we need is just to make the commitment, not really about our diet. I mean, maybe some of us need to do that, but I mean, we need to make a commitment to God. It's time for us to decide that we're going to start making some steps towards obedience to the Lord. We know we're not doing right. We know we're not thinking right. We know we're not on the right path. We know we've not been doing things the way God wants us to do things. And so because of that acknowledgement, we tonight need to make a decision to commit ourselves to do some things God wants us to do. That's a good start, isn't it? I think the starting place is to be here and to acknowledge that God's trying to work in your heart and that you've not been thinking right, you've not been doing right. And so tonight I want to make a commitment. I want to surrender myself to God. I want to surrender this aspect of my life to the Lord and make a commitment to Him. Listen, it always needs to start with a commitment. Amen. We need to start there. I've not been reading my Bible like I should. Or as a matter of fact, maybe we could say this. Not just like as I should. I've never fully committed myself to reading my Bible the way that I know God wants me to read my Bible. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to commit myself to read my Bible in the manner that God wants me to read my Bible. That's a good commitment. To say I want to start praying. Be a fervent prayer warrior for God. And pray the way that God wants me to pray. That's a good commitment. I mean, spending the time necessary to the adequate amount of time in prayer that's needed. One time I asked a friend of mine who I consider one of the most godly people I know and just chit-chatting about prayer. And I asked him this. I said, I'm just kind of waiting for him to tell me how long he prayed for, you know, for an hour every day or something. And I said, so how long do you pray every day? And he said this. He said, till I'm done. I'm like, well, that didn't help me. You know what we need to do sometimes? We just need to pray till we're done. I mean, we need to pray all the way to the end. Our mind gets involved, though, right? You ladies, you really have a hard time with this. But us guys, too, you know. I mean, you get on your knees, or if you can get there, you know what I mean? You just bow wherever you are, and you're going to spend time with God. And as soon as that happens, the brain turns on. You can think of all of this stuff that you need to do. And then you've been thinking, you're trying to pray, but now you've for about 5 minutes, you've been thinking about all the stuff you need to do. And you get frustrated and you think, well, I might as well stop doing this and just get busy because I can't focus enough to pray. You know what we need to do? We need to make a commitment tonight. We need to make a commitment that we're going to pray till we're done. I'm going to pray until my time with the Lord is where it needs to be. I'm going to pray until I know that I've talked to God and He's talked to me and that fellowship has been there. I mean, we need to make some commitments tonight. Maybe we need to make a commitment to be faithful. I would say that some of us need to do that. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to be faithful to the things of the Lord. And when we go home, we're not going to add the worldly things to our life. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to be faithful to church. We're going to be faithful to the house of God. As faithful as we can be. I get it. There are times whenever things disrupt and they're unavoidable. But you know, sometimes things disrupt our ability to be in God's house that are avoidable. You know what we should do tonight? Make a commitment. God, if I can be, listen to this. Ooh, what a good commitment this would be. If I can be in your house, I'm going to be there. That's a good commitment. These are the kind of things that need to happen in our life. We're not going to be able to move forward until we start making commitments to God. He's calling us to make a commitment to Him. Some of us need to make a commitment to get more involved. We're making excuses, too many excuses. I can't do this, and then we have this laundry list of reasons why that we made up why we can't do things. Listen, we need to be more involved. We need to make some commitments to be servants, to be active, to be helps in the ministry. Let me tell you this evening, we need some help. We, meaning the people who are serving and active and committed to the ministry, need more people to be servants and active and committed to the ministry. We need more people. We need more servants. And it could be tonight that it's time for you to make a commitment. If I am able, if I am capable, I'm going to commit myself to be a servant and used of the Lord in whatever way is needed. You know what would be good for you to, you know how they say, write a blank check, just give a blank check. It would be good for you to give a blank check to the Lord. And say, Lord, how do you want to use me? How can I be involved? How can I be helped? And if I'm capable of doing that, if I'm physically able to be active in that way, I'm going to commit myself. Those are the kind of commitments we need to make. But some of you might say, well, I've already made those commitments. But you've faltered. You've failed in the sense that you've gotten away from some of those things. That's where we need to make some recommitments tonight. And that's what we're talking about. Recommitting ourselves to the commandments or the commitments of the Lord that we've made or the things that God has already worked in us about. Recommitting ourselves. This needs to happen in our life routinely, doesn't it? Because we get away from Him. That's where Israel is. As Hosea is closing this book, and as pointed as he has been addressing their rebellion against God and the judgment that they'll face because of their rebellion, now Hosea is saying, listen, it's time for a recommitment. It's time for you who've been away from God and you've been doing it your way and you've been thinking about things your way and you've been living away from me. Now it's time for you to acknowledge that you've gotten away from a commitment you've already made to God and it's time to get back to where you know you need to be. This is Israel who had a covenant relationship with God, who broke that covenant relationship, went away from God, and now the hand of God's judgment is on them. And so this passage to close this great book is a call to recommitment. And so that's how he starts it off. Look at verse number 7. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. Such an interesting way of putting this. Those that dwell under his shadow are those that have put themselves under his protective hand. It's like those who decide, this is so neat. It's like those who decide they need to be recommitted to God. Not just a kind of commitment, it could be there for you, but a commitment or a recommitment to the Lord. You acknowledge that you need to do that, and so you make that step to put yourself back under the shadow of his protective wing or his hand. So it's as though you're saying, I want to be right with God. I'm ready to get right with God. I am sick and tired of running from God. And so we come to put ourselves back under the shadow of God's hand, his protection. Then he said, it's those people who return. You know, it's interesting that it feels reversed, doesn't it? It feels as though what it should say is those who return will be under his shadow, but it doesn't say that. It says those that are under his shadow are those that return. So it's as though God is saying, when you make a decision to recommit yourself to God and to his way in your life, God says you'll return back to who you used to be. You can then return back to those commitments that you once had with him. And that's where the power of God is. The power of God is for us to make a decision that we want to be back where he wants us to be. And then there's a returning, a recommitment that follows or, you know, goes along with that, that recommitment to the Lord. Look at verse number 7 again. I love how this flows. It says, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. And then he speaks of their scent. So there's a sort of like a sweet smell. But he's talking about Israel's existence as a nation and the blessing that will come, the revival that'll come in, you know, in their as a nation and the growth that'll take place in Israel as a nation. And as he's speaking to Israel and their development and their flourishing once again as a nation, it also speaks to us about the flourishing that God wants to put in our life. When we put ourselves back under the hand of God and we recommit ourselves to the path of God, it's as though God is saying you can flourish once again. You can be revived. You can grow. He's talking about a revitalized life. I mean, think about that. A revitalized life. That's what we need. Whenever you start living your life from the perspective of the flesh, the world of flesh and the devil, then what that will do is will take the vitality out of your life. It'll cause you to wither. It'll take all of the enjoyment out of life. I mean, you can't have a kind of blessed life if you're living in the flesh. You just can't. Amen. And Israel, they began to be on the track towards destruction because they got under or away from God. And God is saying, listen, why don't you recommit yourself to me and be renewed, remembering who you used to be and those commitments that used to be there, and bring those back into your life for me. And what will happen is there will be a revival in your soul. There'll be a flourishing that'll take place in your life. God will revitalize your life. That's what we need tonight. It's almost like God is saying, you know those frustrations you're feeling because of what your flesh has done to you? Like, I can take all of those frustrations away. I can revitalize you. I can revive you. I can make you flourish again. This is, if as believers, we should be hungry for that kind of promise. We should say, you know what, that's what I want. I want to flourish again. I'm frustrated with where my life has gotten because of my decisions and the way that I've allowed myself to think and the way I've allowed myself to go. And so God wants to bring that revival to our soul, to our life. Look at verse number 8. Then he says this, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? So now, not only do we have sort of a revitalized life, God now is saying that this perspective of those that have recommitted themselves to God has changed. Their perspective has changed. In other words, God has changed their heart. Israel is saying, now because they're recommitted to God, Israel is saying, I don't need these other idols. I don't need these other gods anymore. I have the one true living God, and he satisfies me. I don't need these other things. He's enough. And that's where we want to be too. Israel has a change of heart. They had embraced, they had taken these idols and they began to worship them and they began to, you know, incorporate them into their lives and into their existence. And now they'd recommitted themselves to God. And because of their focus being on Him and their hearts being right with Him, God has changed their heart and they no longer need these idols. And that's what God will do in your life. God will change your heart. He will change your desires. He will change the things that have distracted you and have pulled you away from Him. You won't have a hunger for them anymore. You won't have a desire for them anymore because you have God and you have righteousness. And so because of that, you don't want those things anymore. The desire for them, God says, will be removed from you. Amen. Did you know, this is so amazing to me, that we embrace, I want to take my Bible with me because I want to come down here. I don't have these verses memorized, but I'm coming down here anyways. Sometimes we embrace these idols in this life because we think they'll do for us. We think that if we have these things in our life, then it'll satisfy us. It'll make us feel fulfilled in life. But what you'll always find is that they never can speak to you. They never can fulfill you. They'll leave you empty. They'll leave you less. And not just so that, you know, things are level or even, but worse. I'm talking about the idols that take our eyes off of God. I'm talking about the things in this life that replace the Lord in our life. When you recommit yourself to God, because we acknowledge we've gone away from our commitments. We're not where we should be. And so we acknowledge that. And we say something like we said here, I want to be back under His hand. I want to be under His shadow. And so that recommitment there's a return that takes place. And there's a revitalization and a flourishing that happens. Along with that, God then begins to remove the desire for those idols from your life. And so you're less hungry for the things of this world. When I was in high school, I played basketball 24/7. I didn't have time for anything else. Literally nothing else. I mean, I had no relationships in high school. I had hardly any relationship. I got distracted a little bit. But, you know, I didn't have a lot of time for that kind of stuff. You know, I didn't even have very much time for the Lord, to be honest with you, because I was focused on basketball. I mean, it was my life 24/7. I remember on Sunday afternoons, it was basketball. I'm like, where can we go? There's got to be a park. And we would go to the park and we'd play basketball all afternoon. And then we would go home and get ready for church, go to church. And then after church, guess what? We're going to play basketball for the rest of the evening until sometimes 10 o'clock at night on Sunday nights. And we had a gym there at the church. And that's just what my life was. Every day, Saturday, Sunday, it didn't matter what day it was. That's how my life was. Then I went to college and my focus began to change. I would be, in my freshman year, was a lot about basketball. I was talking to Grant about this just, I think today, as a matter of fact. We were talking about my freshman year of college. What did you do when you were in college? Well, I did school and some homework, and then I played basketball. But you know what's funny is I would sit on the front row, and the preachers would preach, and God would be stirring my heart. I remember being at home one time, and my heart being so stirred for the things of God that I just took my blanket and I put it over my head and I just prayed and talked to the Lord. He felt so present to me. I felt like He was filling the room and filling the place where I was. I was just so sensing the Lord and close to Him. It's one of those moments in my life I don't think I'll ever forget. And you know what ended up happening as I got closer and closer to God? I got less and less interested in basketball. So that my sophomore year, I played a lot less basketball. And so then my junior year, I was playing a lot less of basketball. And then so that my senior year, I hardly ever played. And now I can't play hardly at all. But when you put God back at the focus, all of the other things that had become idols in your life, I don't really want to do it anymore. It just goes away. I'm like, well, why am I having such a hard time being faithful to the Lord and deleting and getting rid of these idols and these things that have removed my heart from God? You know, I think you are needing to acknowledge tonight is that you've made some commitments maybe, but it's time to make a recommitment to God. Just simply make a recommitment. I want to put myself back under his hand. Look what God said next. This is the part I wanted to show you. I did not have this memorized. Look at verse 8. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? Now look what it says. I have heard him and observed him. I was reading this and I was having trouble understanding who is talking here. And when you factor in the language of not only that phrase, but the final phrase when it says, from me is thy fruit, it seems to indicate who's talking here is the Lord. And so think about this. When you are looking for something from those idols, an idol is no God, right? It's a little g, right? It's a little g. It can't help you. Only the big G God can help you. So when you speak to that little g God, it won't speak back. When you speak to it, that little g God, it can't hear you. But here's what God says. I hear you. I observe you. And look at that last phrase. It's so good. From me is thy fruit found. God says if you recommit, watch this, guys. Guys, look up here. If you recommit yourself to me tonight, I'm going to hear you. And I'm going to observe you. And in me, that's where the fruit is. That's where the, you know what you've been looking for all the time. And it only leaves you empty. And worse, God says you can find it in me. The fruit is in me. In the recommitment to say, I've not been right. I've made commitments, yes, but I've gotten away from my commitments. I need to recommit myself. Look at verse number 9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Look what it says next. It's continuation. It says, and who is prudent is what it means to say. And he shall know them. Here's what God is saying to us tonight. Is there anyone in here tonight who would decide to get this? I mean, you've heard these principles, the truth that we've been talking about. You've looked for it out there. You'll never find it. Is there anyone there who will be wise? Is there anyone here who will be prudent? Who will hear these things and get it? And say, I see it. I see what God is trying to say to me tonight. I see how this works in my life. I see how I've gotten away from God. I see how I've embraced idols. I see how I've ran away from Him and I've embraced these things and I've looked for something in these things that only God can give me. And then he says, if there's someone who's wise, look what it says next. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. So there will be a time in the life of somebody who wants to recommit themselves to the Lord and acknowledges that they need to do that, which in my estimation is probably most of us tonight. I need to recommit myself to the Lord. I would acknowledge that. And you take those steps, and the things that have become idols in our life, they will become less important to us. The focus on them will begin to go away. And you know what will be reestablished? If you'll get this tonight, your walk with God. Look what it says, verse 9. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. A recommitment is like the first step to reestablishing your walk with God. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for my walk to be right. God is the only one who can bring fruit. God is the only one who can put his hand on you and put the blessings there. And I believe that, and I trust that, and I'm ready for that. And I am tired of what my flesh and this world and what the devil is tempting me is brought to my life. I'm ready to turn away from that, recommit myself to the things of God, come down here and say, God, I'm ready to give it all back to you. I've gotten away from you. I'm ready to commit to you again, to return to you. The things of this world will grow strangely dim. Right? And God will in that begin to reestablish your walk. Like, I just want my walk to be right. It's time to recommit. It's time to say, God, I'm ready to make a commitment again. And then, of course, the last phrase, but transgressors shall fall. And you say, well, I don't know. You're going to stumble. This is a plea from God. This whole book, actually, of Hosea is a plea from God, but this is maybe the final plea. I mean, we're finishing with the final plea of God to His people. Get this. Be wise. See that you need this. See that this is where you are. See that the need is a recommitment. To say, this is just what I need tonight. And I'm ready to have my walk reestablished with God. I'm ready to take this step. And that's where we need to be. But if you decide that you don't need this, if you decide that you can continue to walk on the path that you're on, you will stumble. You know why? Because you're not strong enough. Nobody's strong enough. We're weak. We're all weak. We need God. We need Him. We cannot do this without Him. And I was thinking about, when I was putting all this together, I was thinking about a rose and how beautiful a rose is. They're gorgeous, actually. I love roses. I think there's a rose bush. Isn't there one out here, Brother Richard? And that thing blooms, those roses. It's tempting to want to go over there and cut one of those off. I've got you a flower, you know. When you take that rose and cut it off of the vine, it's still beautiful, but it began a process of withering and dying. And it's not going to be beautiful forever. And that's a picture of the kind of life that we can expect if we don't listen to God's plea. A withering, fading kind of existence, really. God wants to revitalize our life. He wants to take the focus that we've had on those idols and make them go away so that they're unimportant to us and reestablish our walk. But if we don't embrace recommitment tonight, recommitment. I mean, I'm talking about a genuine recommitment where we're willing to say, God, I'm ready to say yes to You and no to this world. Then whatever you can what you can expect in the days ahead is a fading existence. Fading. It won't be beautiful forever. It'll die. Have you ever asked your kids a question and then it's like they're not with us? They're just staring? Right? Some of us can relate to that. I remember when I was sick and I took some nighttime medication. And then I got in a van, like a heavy equipment van, because it was my job, and I got on the interstate. This is not good. I did not realize what, you know, that drowsy kind of medicine did. I was just super sick, and it was the only medicine we had, so I'm thinking I'm going to take this because I had to go to work. And I remember being on the highway, and my body began to filter through that medication that I had taken. And my eyes begin to glaze over. And I can still remember it today, getting into the exit lane, but never pushing the brakes. And it was one of those exit lanes that gets off the interstate and curves around and gets on a different interstate. And so I got into the exit lane to do that curve, but I didn't curve. I went straight off. And thankfully, it wasn't like, but there was a grass there, but I ran over one of those arrow signs that was saying, go that way. I'm like, nope, I think I'm going to just go straight, you know, ran straight over it. And then that's when I snapped out of it. Uh-oh, that wasn't good. And, you know, I think, listen, this is what I want to try to say to you. Tonight, what ends up happening is our focus isn't where it needs to be. Our attention isn't where it needs to be. Our mind isn't where it needs to be. What do we need? We need a recommitment. We need tonight for God to do something in us to change us from the inside out. Help our attention to be on You, our focus to be on You. I'm going to give you one more verse, and this is how we're going to finish, okay? I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. Okay. The verse we're about to read is going to be, for some of you, a game changer. Okay? What I mean to say is, if you decide to apply the principles in this verse, it'll change your life. And it relates perfectly to what we're talking about in the message, about recommitment, okay? Look at verse number 3. It says, commit. The first word is commit, right? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. Now watch me for a second. It's very simple. God says, commit your works to me. For some of us, recommit your works to me, and your thoughts will be established. Here's what I think we do sometimes. We want to commit our thoughts to the Lord. He didn't say, commit your thoughts to me. He said, commit your works to me. Don't commit. God isn't saying, commit what you think about to me. Not that we shouldn't meditate. The scripture talks about meditating. But specifically in this passage, God says, I can help you think right. How? Commit your works to me. What is that? Your works are what you do and what you don't do. What we need to do tonight is to make a commitment to the Lord of what we're going to do. Listen, there are some things that God wants us to do. There are some things that God wants you to do. And in your heart, you know it. And there's a struggle there because you've not been doing the things God wants you to do. We need to acknowledge that. That's where it all begins, right? To acknowledge that I want to be back under His hand. And of course, He'll begin to take all the other things away and reestablish our walk. But our commitment to Him tonight, our recommitment to Him tonight needs to be that we would come to the altar and we would say something like this: God, I want to commit myself to do these things. These are the things I know You want me to do. And so I'm going to commit myself to do these things for You. That's what we need to do. God, I know what You want me to do. And I'm going to do these things. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be on my knees, and I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be, I'm not going to come to church and be all about me. No, I'm going to get around. I'm going to encourage the people at church. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to look at the needs of others and not the needs of myself. These are the things, just a few, that we know God wants us to do. And there might be things you know God wants you to do. You want to be on this path where everything God begins to change and put us right? Commitment, recommitment, commit your works. This is what You want me to do. But it's not just what God wants you to do, is it? It's what God wants you not to do. God, there's some commitments I need to make of some things that I'm doing, and I know You don't want me to do it. I know that. I've been watching some things I shouldn't watch. I've been, going some places I shouldn't go. And so there's some activity that I've been involved with. I know You want me to change. I know You don't want me to do this. And so what do? We need to come to the altar tonight, and we need to make a commitment to Him, a recommitment to Him, to say, God, I know You want me to do these things, and so I'm going to commit myself to do these specific things. God, there's some things I know You don't want me to do, and I'm going to come to this altar and I'm going to make a commitment to You so that I won't do these things. What is it that God wants you to do? You need to write it down. What is it that God wants you not to do? You need to write it down. And you need to come and give it to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, this is where my commitment's going to be. You know what's amazing is when you're specific that way, God, He changes your mind. It's amazing how miraculous it is. It really is. Say, okay, God, I'm not going to do this. And I am going to do this. And He says, you commit your works to me, your thoughts will be established. Yep. I'll help you to think right. I'll help you to be right. Put you back on the right path. You know, tonight I think that we can all relate to this in the sense that we need to recommit our heart to the Lord. And I hope that you felt encouraged and touched by this tonight. I think that all of us need this. And it might be that it's time for us to just take this step. God, I want to recommit to You tonight. This is where I've messed up. This is where I've not been where I need to be.